relatives, whoever you're dialing in, are listening in from this morning. We are so honored, amen, to have you with us today. And it's such a privilege to be in the presence of God. Amen. Once again, we get an opportunity as a family, though remote and though virtual, and though at distance physically, we are in one spirit, amen, in one faith, as we worship the one Lord and God, our salvation. We thank God for that today. We praise him for his grace and his mercy. Amen. We join in with the psalmist who said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. It was his word that proclaimed, his word said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. We looked to him. Amen. He makes our faces not ashamed. And then he cried out, amen. And we can all relate to this. And we can bless God for this privilege and this promise. That this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise God. And the angel of the Lord encamped round about those that fear him and deliver them. We bless God today for the word of God, for the promises of God, and more importantly, just to be in the presence of God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that wherever we go, amen, we are in God's presence. Amen. Being in his presence is more important than demanding his promises. I'd rather be in his presence than have all the promises that this world can give. I thank God for his presence today. We invoke his presence right now. Father, we thank you. God, we bless and praise your holy and righteous name this morning. We say thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for faithfulness. We bless you today, Father, for you are worthy of all the praise. With tears, oh God, and troubles in our purview, behind us and beside us today. We are grateful today that you're still King. You're still God. You are still the resurrection and the life. You are in control today. And all power belongs to you. God, we thank you today. We bless your holy name, God. Aside all the formalities and rituals, you are worthy today of the praise. You're worthy of the honor. You're worthy of all the glory. God, we just bow down and magnify and glorify and rejoice in the God our salvation. Because we read somewhere, Lord, that at the end of the day, Lord God, we win. Glory to God. Death will have no victory. Grave will have no sting. We win. Because we have a victorious Savior who triumphed over his foes. And we bless you today, Father. We magnify you today. Even when you left us on this earth, Lord God, you didn't leave us comfortless. But you gave us an advocate, a comforter. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost, who's with us, abiding with us, guiding us, comforting us, speaking sound truth to the innermost beings of our heart. And we invite you today, Father God, to reign over our worship, to get all the glory, get all the praise. It's not about time, about talent, about our treasure. It's about you that we come to praise. It's you we come to magnify. It's you we come to set aside everything else, Lord, and glorify and magnify your righteous and holy name today. Accept and receive our worship, Lord. We were created to worship you. We were designed to worship you. We were made to worship you. You woke us up this morning to worship you. And now, God, we come to worship you. And we bless you. And we praise you in the wonderful name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone said hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless him today for the privilege and opportunity. Do what we were called to do. We were designed, we were made, The first duty he gave Adam in the Garden of Eden was to worship him. Worship is what I do. Worship is who we are. We're designed to be worshipers. I invite you now to worship him as our Elder Sproul leads us in praise songs. Amen. He can lead us in the music, but you can step in and worship God. I want you to worship God this morning. Amen. Worship him. Tell him he's worthy of the praise. Tell him he's faithful. Tell him you love him. Tell him in the might of everything you're going through, he's still king. Hallelujah. Tell him you love him. You're going to worship and obey his word. Worship the Lord with us now as our Elder Sproul leads us in music and worship praise.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly God is worthy of all the glory. And we came to praise him on today. Amen. Fellowship family, we came to give him worship, honor, and praise. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leading on the everlasting on. Amen. God is worthy of all the glory, and we give him all the praise. Amen. For the Lord, he is our strength. He is our God. He is our provider. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength
worship like no other. Reaches to me. Second verse. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up in the fullness. Of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. Hallelujah! You lift me up. You are my strength, you are my strength, strength like gold.
Promises. Certainly the Lord is good. Amen. We approach this time for a moment of prayer, continuing to lift up many that are still, amen, recovering. We give God praise today. We especially praise God there for so many that were on our sick list and were going through different challenges, but now we've got praise reports. Many that were sick are now up. Many that were in comas have recovered. Amen. I'm making some gestures back into, amen, into communicating with others. We thank God this week. So many good reports came out, and we just give God the glory. Amen. It's not the IV. It's not the Tylenol. It's not the ibuprofen. It's not the food. It's the grace of God. Amen. And we thank God for the praise reports we received this week and those that were recovering from the illnesses. We continue to lift up this morning our mother, Mary Reilly, for trusting God that she would have the functioning of her body and the fluids in them would be reconciled. We're praying for, we're lifting up this morning, God, we're trusting him to heal the body of our sister, Elder Rose Clayton's mother. Amen. I believe God can evict that virus from her system. Amen. And she can recover and be fully restored in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe God. I'm not afraid of the virus. I'm telling you right now, I'm not cowering from it. I'm not preparing anybody to die from it. I'm telling you, God can heal. God is a healer, and the virus is no foe for my Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I praise God today. I don't want to mention it. Don't say the word. I'm mentioning it. In the name of Jesus, he can heal the virus. Glory to God. He's still a healer. My God. Hallelujah. God is a healing God today. I believe God to raise up Sister Clayton, Mother Clayton, Sister Clayton, Elder Clayton's mother in Jesus' name. Amen. Shannon Young, Sister Yvette Wheeler, Maureen Bird, many are having pains in their bodies today. I believe God to strengthen them. Now, let me tell you this. Everybody needs strength. All right? Now, let me tell you this too. God's not going to send in a bow box a box of strength for you. Strength don't come in a box. All right? I'm not going to pray put my hands and you get strength. You're going to get strength by reading God's word. Cut the news off. Stop reading all the text messages. Cut all the reels that come on YouTube and read the word of God. And the word of God will strengthen you. Why? Because it was written by people who were going through what you're going through, and God gave them words to say to them, to say to you, to say to me, to say to all of us, that's how you get strength. Strength is given in the word. It's not hocus pocus. There's no anointing for strength. Amen. The word of God will be your strength. Open your Bible, cut on a CD, get some songs in your bedroom. Amen. Get the word of God in it, repeat it, recite it, dwell in it, look at it, stare at it, and I guarantee you, you're going to get strength. You're going to get strength. You're going to get strong. You're going to leap over walls and run through troops when you get the word of God in your spirit. Amen? Amen. I know that's right. Amen. I know that's the word of God. We're praying that God would comfort now also to comfort those, amen, who have gone through. We're praying for our brother Law and his family on the passing of their beloved mother and wife, Geraldine Law, and our beloved member. Continue to pray for the Tina, the household of the Taylors, amen, and many others. Sister Diane Bayless, who lost her cousin, we're lifting them up today that God will continue to strengthen them, amen. We're praying for those of you that have loved ones in nursing homes. It's in my spirit this morning when I woke up, amen. In my spirit, I'm praying for those of you who have loved ones in nursing homes who cannot visit them, who cannot see them. I know the pain you're going through. And I know the tragedies we've seen of what's happened in many cases. But in my spirit today, I'm asking you, if you bow in a moment of prayer, to join me in praying for them and praying for you, that you'd be strengthened in terms of believing God's word, repeat God's word, speak God's word over that loved one. Give them to Jesus to take care of. Bow your heads with me now. Grab somebody at the end of the room with you. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe your word today that says, lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. You are with us today, Heavenly Father. And we desire your divine hand and your grace to touch, Lord, every name mentioned, everybody that's sick, oh God, in hospitals, with viruses, with diabetes, with cancer, with depression, with all aches and pains and back spasms and issues today. Father, I believe you are a God who heals. I believe you are the God who can speak everything as if into existence. You need nothing to work with but our faith. So we come to you with our faith, Father. It was given to us by grace through your death and burial of your son. And we present our faith, our hearts to you. Father God, intervene today and touch these bodies, Lord God. Heal and raise them up in the name of Jesus. Touch, I pray this morning, oh God, Rose Clayton's mom, oh God, strengthen her. I pray you to heal her. I pray for an eviction of that virus from her system in the name of Jesus. I lift up today, Father God, I believe today for James Watson, touch his body, Touch his mind. God, raise him up, I pray. Strengthen him in the joy of the Lord, in the knowledge of your salvation, in the grace of God, in every name, Father God, in front of me today, Lord. You know their condition. You know their situation. You know their predicament. God, every circumstance is not too hard for you. Is there anything too hard? The prophet said, no, nothing is too hard for God. All things are possible. I believe you today, Father God, for everyone, Lord God, in our hearts, in nursing homes this morning, my God. Oh, God, my heart reaches for them. For you are there, Father. You are there, Father God. Strengthen them, I pray. Keep them, I pray. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, those of us who have loved ones that are there, I pray you build them up, Lord God, and give them words to say in prayer as they intercede, as they cry out, as they supplicate for their loved ones and many others, oh God, to keep them, to preserve them, to protect them in the name of Jesus. I trust you today, Father. Bless their food. Bless the oxygen that they breathe. Bless the environment that they're in. Keep them, I pray, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come against the bully of death who's lost its sting, who has no power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, today I believe you are still king. You're still on the throne of life. You proclaim it. All power is in your hand today. I believe you today, Father, to do what you said you do. You're a God who's not vague, who's not ambiguous, who's not absent, who's not forgetful. You're not asleep nor slumber. We trust you today, Father. As you go through these difficult times, we trust you today, for we know that with you, we are strengthened. We're learning from these times. We're learning what we need to know, Father. You're teaching us and building us up. And when you're done, Lord God, we'll shine like gold. And we thank you for the trials we're going through, the tests we undertake, knowing that you have gone through them and you're with us as we go through. We bless you now. We honor you now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We thank God for his grace. Amen. And now it's a wonderful opportunity for all of us to continue to worship. We worshiped in song. Amen. We have worshiped, praise God, in prayer. And now we get a chance to worship in our giving. Amen. It's offering time. Praise God. We thank God for the gift. Amen. Even in these difficult times, we know this, that God is holding us accountable to be good stewards and good faithful stewards. We still give. Amen. He gives to us, we give. Amen. Because he's entrusted us. So we want to thank God today. We got a rally. We have 103. Praise God. Everybody say 103. 103 Spring Canvas participants. Those are individuals who, in the absence of congregating together, have sent their quarterly canvas in by mail, by internet, by Zelle, by Cash App, whatever, have sent their dollars in to continue to bless this separate offering outside of their tithes and their normal offerings. We thank God for that. We're going to honor those names today. We're going to read every one of them the right way. Praise God. Beginning with Sister Angela Berrien Rivers. Praise God. I got that right this time. Praise God, Sister Angela. We love you. Thank you for your patience with me. I can mess up a name. I'm going to tell you all that right now. That's my reputation, so don't hold it against me. All right? Also want to honor Sister Yvette Armstead, Sister Crystal Baker Barnes. Sister Crystal, we are praying for your mom. She's in my spirit. We are praying for your mother. Praise God. Amen. Sister Marilyn Benson. Amen. Elder James Dennis. Amen. Sister Jacqueline Gathers. Sister Mercedes Gomez. As God continues to heal you, Sister Mercedes, and strengthen you, we believe God. Amen. Keeping his word. Sister Jacqueline Holiday. Sister Cheryl Lamb. Sister Sharon LaHaye. Sister Tiffany Lewis. It's great to have her back on her feet. Praise God. Amen. Sister Kim Pierce, recovering strongly. Deacon Franklin Pennock, Sister Benetta Sister Bunny Price, praise God. Let's not get all formal up in here. Amen. And the whole Reese family is on the list today. We got, from the beginning to the end, we got Brother Mason, Sister B, and Brother Roger. All, amen, quarterly givers. Praise God. Our Sister Kiana Rivas, amen. Our Deacon Teresa Robinson, Sister Sandy Macbeth Truitt, as she continues to recover from her loss. Amen. We're praying for the continued healing of Sister Yvette Wheeler and our Deacon Sharon Wynn. If you're not on the list because you haven't sent your money in, amen, you can take care of it. We'll get it done. We got the spring is our frame. Let's get everybody participating in this outside of their normal tithe and offering giving. And we thank you for your generosity. Amen. We bless God for your commitment to it. As you bring your tithes and offerings, put them in the envelope right now. Let's bless them, Father. Bless those gifts, those sacrifices, as we give out of obedience, Lord, not out of sacrifice. We give out of obedience to your promises to us. So we raise this up to you now, Father. We bless you and we praise you for all we have to give in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We thank God. We don't have very many new announcements today. Amen. We just want to continue to remind you that once again this week, beginning on Monday, beginning tomorrow at 8:45, again on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and on Saturday at 8:45, we'll have, amen, our prayer. And then on Saturday, we have the opportunity to hear our pastor's voice as she rallies us around some of the key initiatives that are taking place. We have a new announcement coming. We'll tell you about that later on. Keep tuned this week. You'll hear about our new God and Me initiative that's being undertaken. More of that to come. Praise God. And don't forget on Wednesday, God's willing, God put strength in my body. Amen. I'll be able to share the word of God with you as we learn together. I am just so, so grateful for so much effort that many of you have placed in staying studious in towards your Wednesday Bible study. Amen. We see the numbers of those that are dialing in, and we also occasionally, I'm gifted by getting an email or a text from someone, amen, how much I'm enjoying it. I even got the luxury last week, somebody sent me their notes. And I could actually look at those notes and say, I could teach from those notes better than I teach my own notes, amen. They just were so studious and so meticulous. And nothing encourages a teacher or a preacher when they see people who are listening to them. That's one encouragement. But nothing enthuses you more than seeing lives change. See, teaching doesn't change you. What teaching does is teaching leads you to the one who can change you. Let's keep that clear. I don't teach to change you. I teach to lead you to Jesus who can change you. Hallelujah. And we see that our pastor is going to pour out her heart this morning and bring forth the word of God now. Let's welcome her in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Good morning, family. The Lord bless you. What a privilege and what a joy divine to lean on his everlasting arms. Will you look up to the ceiling now and to the sky and tell the Lord, you are my strength, strength like no other. And I thank you, Father, that strength is reaching for me now. Glory to your great name. Thank you for the strength that you give us. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's have a word of prayer. Kind Father, we thank you for being the source of our strength. Your word says that your grace would be sufficient for us and that your strength would show up right in the time when we needed it. And so we thank you for supernatural strength. We thank you, Lord, for your strength that is shown to be perfect in weakness. And we thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet. That means it helps us see where we're going. It's a light to our path. It helps give us direction and counsel and comfort and correction. We are grateful today. Thank you, oh God, for our media and our communications ministry working so hard to help us to be able to make a connection. And for everyone who's listening on the phone and everyone who's able to watch and participate on the Zoom call, we give you great thanks and honor and glory. We pray that you lift hearts even now, Hallelujah. That you transform minds even now, that the Spirit of the Lord would be round about us, to provide us with just what we need in these difficult times. So we pray, oh God, that we will feel the difference that your Holy Spirit makes. We ask you to allow our ears to hear what you would want us to hear and understand, and let your word dwell in us richly in all meekness and wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 So we began a series last week, a series about being at home. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're at home, because everybody's supposed to be at home. Praise his name. This is at home part two, behind closed doors. Behind closed doors. So this is the second sermon in the series, the at-home series. And last week I told you the truth, and I bet you it's your truth too, that for many years I judged being at home as being in a kind of inactive status. I was interested in movement and in action. I wanted to be out and about. I wanted to fly from city to city. Yes, even from country to country. I always wanted my suitcase on a train or in the trunk of a car. I wanted to go. Yes, indeed. And the thought of being at home all the time was boring, static, and uninteresting. I believe that the action was outdoors. Come on here. Maybe some of you felt that way as well. Inside was like a timeout, was like a punishment. Outside was everything. But now we have to be indoors. We're compelled to be indoors. It's safer to be indoors. It's in keeping with the law of the land to be indoors. And we can either use the indoor time as something special, or we can squander it and later look back and say, what happened for me when I was on the inside, when I was behind closed doors? I want to speak to you this morning from the subject behind closed doors, and I want to ask you, is it possible that important foundational things happen indoors? When we see little children in grocery stores running up and down the aisles or in malls acting crazy, the first thing we say to ourselves is, those children don't have no home training. You know you say it. You know you think it to yourself. Something should have happened at home before you got out here cutting up, right? And so when we refer to home training, it's a process of instruction. It's a process of direction. It's a process of correction, come on, that occurs between parents and children in the house. Raise your hand if you had some good old home training. Amen. And if it got reinforced sometimes by a switch or a belt or back of somebody's hand. Amen. Back in the day, reinforcement was legal. Amen. And if we didn't want to receive the training, amen, it was reinforced for us. It's the training that occurs behind closed doors and then manifests itself in public. When you give a five-year-old a gift and they say, thank you, or when you ask a four-year-old if they would like an apple and they say, yes, please, you know that some training took place behind closed doors. Are you with me? Friends, this might be the most important kind of training. It might be fair to assume that interactions of real value and lessons that have the power to transform our very lives can occur in the privacy of our own homes. Did you hear what I said? And if this is the case, then we can anticipate that the Lord is still at work in our lives. Will you affirm that with me? God is still at work in my life. Yes. Even in a time of widespread illness, pestilence, and disease from the inside, God is at work behind closed doors. This term, behind closed doors, refers to something that takes place secretly. It refers to a situation or a transaction that occurs without public knowledge, without public scrutiny, without the public's ability to perceive or see or hear what's happening. something that happens behind closed doors is something that occurs outside the scope of public purview. It's done in private. It's accomplished outside of the sight of others. It happens at home. So in this At Home series, we're considering together what God may have in mind for us while we are at a social distance from others, while we're spending a great deal of time at home. Now that we spend our days and nights behind closed doors, what might the agenda of the Spirit of God be for us? To ask yourself and ask the Lord. I'm never going to say God sent this virus. Not me. I do not subscribe to the idea that God wanted people to be sick or in terrible pain or languishing with fever or lying on their deathbeds. I have heard some say it, but I'm not a believer that the Lord sent this virus to cause us to repent. Certainly would not say that. That has not been revealed to me, but I do believe that the Lord knew it was coming. And I believe that in spite of our tears and fears, our questions, even our very heartbreak, God is working. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. I believe he's even working some things together for our good. Question is, what does he have in mind? And as we pray every day and night for the plague to stop, and as we supplicate for the pestilence to cease, and as we intercede on behalf of the sick, and we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, include in your prayer list this personal inquiry. Ask God, is there anything you want to show me while I'm slowed down and locked in? Is there anything you want to reveal to me while I'm on this side of the door? Is there anything you want to change in me or reshape in my life while I'm behind closed doors? I'm asking you to ask God. Is this time in any way purposeful for me? You who can take a mess and bring out of it a message. You who can take something painful and bring something purified out of it. You who can take a crooked place and make it straight. Is there anything you want to use this time for in my life? Our text for this morning is a story about a miracle that happened in the home. Powerful manifestation of God's presence and blessing that took place behind closed doors. One of our lay leaders, Sister Bridget Hargett, preached this last year. It's a miracle story found in 2 Kings chapter 4. It's a familiar one, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves." Lord have mercy. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not just a few. Then go in, shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." Glory to God. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. And they kept bringing vessels to her. And she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And they kept bringing vessels to her. And she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said, "Mom, there are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. And you and your children and live on the rest." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his scripture. And the second text is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, "Behold," or "listen, I'm standing at the door, knocking." Somebody's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Amen. I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you. Jesus says, I will eat with you and you with me. Amen. So this story in the book of 2 Kings is part of a list of narratives that describe some of the miracles that God used the amazing prophet Elisha to perform. I'm going to teach a course, if the Lord blesses us, be together again soon on Elisha. It's just blowing my mind. Elisha is a mighty prophet of God who comes to the fore of Israel's history during the reigns of King Joram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, and Jehoram. And he is the son of a wealthy landowner, but he was also the son of God. And God worked on his heart in private. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is tired and depressed and feeling exclusive, meaning he was alone, and he was feeling isolated. And he asked God to let him die. Anytime you're ready to die before your time, you know that an enemy is speaking into your ear. Anytime you're ready to die and the Lord hasn't released you, you know the spirit of depression, which is an oppressive spirit, is functioning in your midst. Anytime the enemy has worn you down so bad that you want to check out and God has not given you a checkout slip yet, you know that you have a strong enemy and you have to fight. I want to invite you to fight in your house. Now, I know when you grew up, your mother told you don't fight at the house, but I'm going to tell you, you must fight at the house. And if you're in there, and especially if you're in there alone, open up your mouth and begin to come against the enemy who is oppressing your mind. Don't get up this morning. It's not worth it. Don't put your teeth in. Don't put your glasses on. Don't put your clothes on. The devil is a liar. The Lord rebuke you. Let God arise. Come on. And his enemies be scattered. Begin to speak. Speak the word of God out loud in your house. Say it loud. And I'm going to tell you, as you feel enemies coming in and closing in on you, frustration, despair, come on, listlessness. I feel like I'm getting a cough. Oh, my throat's closed up. In the name of Jesus, my throat is not closing up. Amen. The blood of Jesus is covering me. I want you to begin to speak God's word out loud. Elijah was so depressed that he sat under the tree and he said, God, let me die. All the other prophets have been killed by the sword and I'm left alone and the people want to kill me. He was mistaken. He wasn't left alone. There were 7,000 people who hadn't bowed their knee to Baal, but he didn't know it because all he was listening to was depression. Depression can bring a cloud that overshadows the truth. You start to believe a lie when a lie keeps speaking to you and you don't rebuke it. God speaks to him in a still small voice and gives him his final marching orders. This is Elijah. In verse 16, God tells Elijah, anoint Jehu as king over Israel and anoint Elisha as a prophet in your place. Oh my God, I think my feelings would have been hurt. Whoa, God has already established Elijah's replacement. I got somebody who's going to take over. I've been working on him behind closed doors. Now, Elijah hasn't seen or even encountered Elisha yet. I don't know if Elijah knew who Elisha was, but the point was that God had already been working on Elisha in secret. He had to have been shaping a new appetite in Elisha. He had to have been putting the imprint or the imprimatur of his purpose and will in Elisha's psyche long before Elijah passed by his field that day. But because Elijah walked, when Elijah walked by Elisha, he's on his plow, and he has 12 yoke of oxen, and he's behind the 12th yoke pushing the plow, as riding on the plow, and Elijah takes off his mantle. You remember that? I'm so excited. I just have to just squeeze this little story in. The mantle was the official garment of a prophet. So there were three types of mantles worn in biblical times, but this mantle was the adoret. It was a cloak that was typically made of animal hair, and it was a garment of distinction worn either by a king, but most often by a prophet. And so the mantle automatically marked a man as a prophet, a spokesperson of God. It was also a symbol of sacrifice. The mantle was a symbol of commitment. The life of the prophet was not a life of luxury, and the mantle represented a person's gift the call of God and the purpose to which he was called. So when Elijah took off his mantle and threw it onto the property of Elisha and onto Elisha, it was a symbolic act denoting his summon to the office of a prophet. No words were exchanged. Amen. No oil was poured. Amen. He didn't have a robe and a consecration service. Elijah just threw his mantle over on him, and Elisha was ready. Oh, my friends, I bet you Elisha didn't know that was going to be the day. I bet you he got up and was plowing his daddy's fields as an obedient son, as he had many, 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 many hundreds of days before that. But God readied his heart at home. If you don't do the homework, you're not going to be ready when the curtain pulls back. If you don't want to do the homework, you're not ready when the test comes. If you don't do your homework, oh, my friends, it's homework time. I never enjoyed homework. But I had to do it because I did enjoy good grades. Come on. I never enjoyed the process of doing my homework, but it was the homework that reinforced the ideas I learned in the classroom and that helped me move from first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade. Come on here. Fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth, ninth and 10th and 11th and 12th. I didn't even stop. I went to college and I still had to do homework. I'm grown. But homework is the most necessary work. What I'm trying to tell you is that what happens behind closed doors is what determines and differentiates you when you get outside the door. Handle your business in private. So when you're in public, a blessing can rest on you. You can tell some people, they always get up, they're oily. What do I mean? I mean, did they put Vaseline on their face? Well, maybe that, but that's not really what I'm talking about. What I mean is that the anointing is so evident. The anointing is so manifest. They don't push themselves forward, but when they get forward, when you get near them, you can feel the presence of God. I was thinking about somebody that I knew and admired in ministry, and every time they got up, they were oily. Every time they got up, if they were praying, if they were leading, if they were preaching, if they were prophesying, they just had an anointing on them. And I was like, what is it about her that she never seems off and she's always on? And then I learned that her prayer life is something that she won't compromise on. That at home, she's praying. Thank you, Jesus. That at home, she's on her knees. That she's just not some magically gifted person. No, she's a profoundly prayerful person at home. God purges you at home. God cleanses you at home. God corrects you at home. God transforms you on the inside at home. God makes crooked places straight at home so you don't embarrass yourself when you get outside. Ah, we got to do our homework. Tell your neighbor, I got to do my homework. Amen. Pick up a little mirror in your pocketbook. Say, I got to do my homework. What's happening behind closed doors? And friends, this is how you can tell you need some work. When there's still certain buttons that certain people can push. Lord have mercy, right? With one sentence, and I go from 0 to 60. I still got to do some homework. One situation happens and it trips me up so bad, I know I need some work behind closed doors. All right, you don't want to hear about this. You want to hear about Elisha. So Elijah throws the mantle on him. Elisha knows what it means and he accepts it. He lets his parents know. He prepares a big goodbye dinner for those with whom he works, and he follows his master for years as a servant. The rich boy serves the poor prophet. Come on here. You know God was working on him behind closed doors. I think it's important to recognize that almost everything significant we see happen in public has an antecedent. That means something happened before the thing we saw. It has a beginning, and it was not public. It happened in private. Elisha follows Elijah for years, serving him, assisting him, watching him. Rich kid humbles himself to serve the man of God. His service is behind closed doors, but when he gets it behind open doors, amen, he reaps a great reward. By the time Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, you remember the story? His servant, his protege, his sidekick, his young assistant was following close behind him and was ready to grasp the mantle as it descended from heaven, as he's taken into the clouds. And then he performs twice the miracles that Elijah performed. Elisha got ready behind closed doors. You see a celebrity with a beach body,
Y'all know what a beach body is. Tight abs and toned muscles. No flab, no rolls, no cellulite. You have to know that they did not eat a stack of pancakes for breakfast. With sausage, come on here, and two eggs with American cheese on the side. Oh, they were working before they got on TV. You understand what I'm trying to say? Working out twice a day, watching everything they ate, toning, and maybe even getting a bit of help from steroids or surgical procedures. You see an educated, articulate professor get to the microphone and give a lecture that's compelling. That person did not roll out of bed with that knowledge, with that skill set. They studied, they read, they studied, they read some more, they studied and they read and prepared themselves more and more until the day, so their lecture was seamless. The doctor who performed surgeries went through years of medical school. They were behind closed doors learning and practicing and getting it wrong until they could get it right. Behind closed doors. The point is that important processes, perhaps the most important processes, occur behind closed doors. Please know that though the outside action feels more electrifying, it feels more exciting, it's the insider action that allows the outside to be impactful. Did you hear me? It's what happens on the inside that allows you to be impactful when you get outside. I'm trying to help you today. I hope you can hear me. Without the things that happen behind closed doors, there is no public significance. What is God wanting to do in your heart while you're behind closed doors? What is God wanting to do in your life while you're sheltering in place? What is God wanting to transform in your thinking? Come on here. While you are practicing social distance. Elijah takes over the role of prophet when Elijah dies. He leads a collection of men of God who are developing their prophetic gift. They learn together and maybe even live in a community together called the School of the Prophets. They lived in caves and were afraid to come out before Elijah became public with his rebuke of Ahab and Jezebel. But when they came to the fore under Elisha's leadership team, they began to minister mostly in the northern kingdom of Israel, but also some in the southern kingdom of Judah. So the woman in the story was married to one of the men who participated in the School of the Prophets. He was a God-fearing man who died with debt. Say, Lord, help me. She was among those who was following the Lord, but she fell on desperately hard times, and she did not see how she could get out. Just so you know, family, difficult circumstances and desperate situations do occur in the lives of God's chosen. Disappointment does visit us. Pain does come. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Come on, come on, come on. And we have to know that the difference between us and people who don't believe and people who are not in covenant is not that our lives are easy, but that we have a very present help in trouble, that we don't go through it alone, but the Lord is with us. We are not exempt from hardship. We are not exempt from challenge. Scripture, the woman in this story is in real trouble. She lives in the ancient Near East without a spouse, which renders her most vulnerable. She's a single mother with no income, and she's grieving. Her spouse is dead, and her children are young. And her husband died with debt, no insurance policy to take care of the mortgage. She inherits bills with no clear means of paying them. I know you thought you was the first, but you're not. And she lives in a time when debt payment is generational. Meaning, if the first generation makes the debt but doesn't pay it, the second generation is responsible for the debt the first generation didn't pay. And now her son's freedom is threatened. So this woman of God seeks help from the man of God. The text opens and she tells him of her trouble. And the first thing he says to her is significant. What do you have in the house? Oh, my friends, what a great question. Maybe we should ask ourselves today, what resources and blessings could be here for me in my own home? I would ask you, do you have a prayer closet in your house? Do you have an altar in your house? Do you have a CD player to play some old Christian CDs in your house? Do you have an iPad or a phone or a desktop computer on which you can download sermons and lessons to inspire you? I once visited a believer who took me to their prayer room, and there was a big Buddha in the prayer room. Come on. Be sure that what you have in your house does not attract demons. Oh, Lord. Be sure that the things you place and hang in your home were not used for ceremonies that don't help you move toward the things of God. What do you have in your home? I hope it's not items from the occult or love letters from folk you said you were done with decades ago. Oh, Lord, if the prophets were to ask us, what do you have in your house? What would you say? What would you say? Elisha seems to suggest that even in her poverty, even in her desperate situation, she has something God can use. Oh, isn't that exciting? She owns something that God can bless. She possesses something right at home that can be the key to her deliverance. Her help is at home. I know you didn't think it was, but it was. She seeks help outside the home, but God uses what is in her home to answer her prayers. We're in the at-home series. There's something at your home that God can use to bless you as well. She says, I have only a jar of oil. Elisha answers her right away. Go borrow empty vessels from all your neighbors. Don't just get a few, borrow a lot of them. After they borrow the vessels, they go into their little house, the mother and the two sons, and they shut the door. They close the door. They enact the barrier between what is outside and inside. They close out fear. They close out doubt. They close out unbelief. They close out desperation. They close out the creditors. Come on here. The door represents a meaningful barrier, and some things need to be closed out, but some things need to be closed in. The woman and her sons close their door and start to pour. They close their door and start to pour. They close their door and start to pour. One vessel is full. Two vessels are full. Three vessels are full. And then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as many vessels as they brought in, the little jar just won't run out. It keeps replenishing. It's a contained container, except it seems like a bottomless pit, because every time she tips it, there's more oil to pour into much larger vessels. It is a miracle happening in her home. He told her just what to do behind closed doors, and a miracle took place. That little jar of oil had an endless supply, and God can meet our needs as well behind closed doors. I'm almost finished. Last night, Elder and I caught the last hour of a movie we saw years ago entitled The War Room. You remember that movie? What a blessed reminder it was. The main character, Liz, is faced with a crisis in her marriage and a family system that's failing. Her daughter is depressed and unloved. Her husband is detached and disenchanted, cheating and lying and planning even an affair. And she initially is apathetic until she receives instruction from a woman of God to go into her closet and close the door. Yeah, she's advised to do the supernatural, to go into her prayer room, her war room, and to pray for her family, to pray to the Heavenly Father who sees in secret and rewards openly. So Liz prays for Tony, the husband, and their worlds turn around for the glory of God. She prays in private, and God moves again and again in public. She prayed behind closed doors, and God blessed her in every way. The woman in the story gets enough oil out of one little jar that she had to sell the oil to her neighbors, collect the proceeds, enough cash to pay her creditors, and then to live on the rest. God moved behind closed doors, and he still does. God moved in private, hallelujah, and he still does. And her sons watched as the God of their father became the God of their mother and met the needs of their entire family. And now these boys have a testimony of their own. We saw it ourselves. We would have been slaves, but God made a way for us behind closed doors. Family, you can't always move to the next level on somebody else's testimony. Oh, yes, you need a testimony of your own. I know for myself what the Lord can do. These boys now had their testimony of God as a waymaker, of a God who's a miracle worker. A miracle happened behind closed doors. The miracle of revelation in last week's story, The Road to Emmaus, the miracle of revelation happened. When they got inside the house, their eyes were opened and Jesus was revealed to them. And this week, behind closed doors, the miracle of provision took place. The miracle of provision. God wants to do something different. Say something that's going to help you, that's going to change you. He wants to speak to you even in this season. I want to tell you something. I know you think he's already spoken to you and he's already moved in your life, but there's some more transformation that needs to take place before you can be fully usable. Do you understand? Before you can be as fully usable as God intends for you to be. So the Lord has somewhere to take you. And sometimes when we get to the first level of God, where God wants to take us, we feel satisfied, but God's not satisfied. And so he's got to do some more work on the heart. Come on. And he's got to do some more work on the head. And come on. He's got to do some more work on the will. And he does it on the inside so you won't be embarrassed. Because if he's got to correct you publicly in front of everybody and you got to fall on your face in front of everybody, it's humiliating. Let him do his work at home. Remember when there was some children demonstrating down south and the news caught this little boy. His mother told him, don't go to the demonstration. Y'all remember this? It was a black mother. You know what that means. So dude slipped out with his friends. He went down to the demonstration. He gonna march. His mother rolled up on him. News cameras watching. She start beating that boy in the dead on street. Black people everywhere falling out laughing because we could all relate. We all would wish that our mother would get us at the house. Don't beat me outside in front of my friends. Don't beat me on Channel 2 News. Please beat me at the house. And so I want to tell you that God's not going to beat you at the house, but the Lord wants to do some things in you. He wants to reveal some things about himself to you. Do you know that you don't know all that there is to know about him yet? He wants to reveal things. He wants to do some transforming. He wants to get you readier. You know, sometimes God has something for us, but he can't tell us because he knows we can't receive it. He got to get you ready to receive it. The womb of your spirit can't hold this baby yet. And you will miscarry the assignment of God until he strengthens you. He's trying to do it at home. Don't squander. Don't waste the time. In Revelation, Jesus Christ, the King, takes the form of a lowly visitor to the hearts of humanity. John quotes him as saying, behold, look, listen, I'm at the door. I'm not going to kick it down. Bust it down, walk through it like I can. I'm not invading your space. I'm going to knock, which is a manifestation of my intention and my desire to be with you. But you have to open up the door and let me in. Oh, my friends, close the door to unwanted visitors. Close the door to the enemy of doubt and unbelief. But open the door to your heart while you're in your home and allow Jesus to sup with you. Allow Jesus, meaning to eat with you, meaning to fellowship with you, meaning to walk with you and talk with you and tell you that you're his own. Allow Jesus into your space. Welcome him in. Put on the garment of praise because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Where you're blessing him, his presence is made known. Hallelujah. Open up your mouth and begin to sing. Open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. You may feel like you're in there alone, but I want to tell you that there's a work God wants to do in you behind closed doors. If you are listening and you feel like you've been behind closed doors absolutely alone, that I want you to know that today you can welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the doctor of our souls who makes house calls. Welcome him in today. He'll come behind your closed doors. He comes to mansions and he comes to homeless shelters. He comes to shacks and he comes to resorts. If you welcome him, he will come. Pray with me if he is not a present active part of your life. Let's just ask a simple prayer to invite him in. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, your beloved Son, who came to save me. I need to be saved from my sin and from myself. Father, forgive my sins. And make me your child.
Let your spirit take up residence in me today. Wash me with your blood. Forgive my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I belong to you. Thank you for saving me today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, there's work God wants to do, even behind closed doors. You can come out of this with a testimony and with strength and with a new revelation. Allow the Lord to do his work while you're at home, behind closed doors. And now, if you're able, will you stand with me and lift your hands? And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my family. Go in the peace of Christ.
Thank you.